Welcome to The Karmic Path with your hosts, Tina Irwin and Laura Van Tine. This is the place where we discuss the basic elements of karma and how our everyday actions affect our karmic paths. No one lives a mortal life without experiencing some level of grief in many areas of our lives. It's part of the human mortal experience. I'm really excited that Tina is going to be sharing with you excerpts from her book, The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief. The proceeds to this book and our other books help support the podcast, The Karmic Path, and we're very grateful for all of our listeners and for you supporting us in our endeavors.
What is death? Every birth is a dawn, and every death a night, one eternally folding into the other. Every night is alive with the light of the stars and the hope of the heavens, and every death is equally alive with the light of hope in the divine, the hope of life everlasting, and of rebirth. Mortal people use the word death to define the end of mortal life. Many have come to believe that this word means the absolute end of all life. However, one of the goals of this book is to help you understand that the word death merely defines the boundary between one form of existence and another. The primary purpose of this book is to help anyone who is grieving anything to understand that all individuals can heal their grief over time. There are as many forms of death as there are of grief. We know that there is physical death and death of creatures in our lives that we love. But there are other kinds of death that we grieve: death of a relationship, death through divorce, death through loss of job, death through loss of physical or mental ability, death of innocence when uncovering past traumas, and death through the trauma of natural disasters, fires, floods, and the loss of possessions. With the many forms of death that we encounter, the explanation of it could fill up many books. The simplest explanation, however, revolves around understanding energy. As children, we learn that energy is neither created nor destroyed. If so, what happens when a person dies? Where does that energy go? Most of us never receive an answer. And in fact, we are told that it is a different kind of energy, and that the same laws do not apply. Yet the laws of physics do not change. So the quest begins to find out about the energy of life and death, where it goes, and how it comes back again and again. Misconstrued concepts of death. We have many misconceived notions of what death is. Our culture views discussing death as morbid, sad, unsavory, dark, depressing, and unnecessary. We believe that death is something to be feared, that it is a great tragedy, and most importantly, that it is permanent. These notions are created in many places, and whether stemming from society, religion, or basic fear of the unknown, they are just that, notions. There is no validity to these ideas. Such beliefs and concepts of death and the afterlife greatly retard our spiritual progress while we are here on earth. The symbols of death are embedded in our subconscious, from the black-hooded grim reaper holding a vicious-looking scythe to a grinning skeleton holding its own skull. The macabre terrifies us with its blood, gore, mutilation, and horror. Even fairy tales are full of terrible ways to die, and we read these to our children as we send them off to sleep. With such iconoclastic representations of death, what emotion other than fear could the very word death create in our minds? Even religions, the very institutions designed to bring us peace, have viewed death in the afterlife as a means of control. Fear of death and all that surrounds it keeps people in line. Feelings of guilt and fear of punishment maintain this control. Another concept concerning death is the tragedy of it all. People die, we put them in the ground, bury them at sea, or cremate them. We cry, wail, or bury our feelings of loss, sometimes of such profound loss that there seem to be no consolation. But what if it's not a bad event? What if death is not a tragedy? The belief that death is a tragedy stems from the fear that surrounds it and the misguided notion that it is permanent. Where does this conception of tragedy come from? Perhaps it comes from the mistaken belief that the last breath is permanent. The last breath is permanent, but only for that lifetime. Of course, there'll be sadness associated with this event. However, understanding that death is the end of this particular mortal life and is only the end of this phase of this soul's cycle may begin to remove the sense of tragedy surrounding someone's passing. Perhaps the death of another reminds you of your own mortality. Perhaps people feel that they will never, ever see this person again. The false permanence of death causes people to fear the loss of their own identity, believing that at the moment of death, they will simply cease to be. You learned earlier that energy moves in cycles. The end of one cycle is the beginning of another. The energy that animates the human form moves in that cycle. When the body dies, the energy enters a different phase of the cycle, but will eventually return to this phase again. Ultimately, this awareness is the foundation for the understanding of reincarnation. You live a life and you die. You move into the heaven world. You learn from this last mortal life, and you are then reborn. We are all going to experience death. Holidays. What do you do with holidays? How should you handle them? If someone dies at a religious holiday such as Christmas or Hanukkah, do you ever celebrate this time again? What about birthdays? It is important to understand that times of celebration without this person are not going to be the same. You and your family will have to choose how you are going to manage these events. Perhaps you can sit down as a family and discuss it, because holidays can become torturous times of questionable celebration if you allow that to happen. Some families choose not to celebrate any occasion for a very long time because they fear the emotion the occasion will engender. Other families decide to have a wonderful time and remember the beloved in their hearts in a positive way. Whatever choice you make will affect not just you personally, but your immediate family, friends, and neighbors. It is wise to consider that very probably the person who has gone would not want anyone to stop living and celebrating life, certainly not on his or her account. Perhaps there is a middle ground. If being married will not be comfortable for you and your family for the first year or so following a death or divorce, then create a modified celebration. Have only a few decorations or a simple birthday cake without a gathering of people. In the coming years, anticipate returning to family celebrations and make a toast to the family member who is not there. Acknowledging the person who is gone relieves some subtle tension and empower your healing. The tunnel effect, the valley of the shadow of death. Most people have come to know about the existence of something called the valley of the shadow of death. However, not everyone is too sure what that means. The valley of the shadow of death is a portal of transition. It is very easy to understand when you consider that millions of people die each day. It would be utterly unnerving to see all of these souls going to all the different places that souls go upon their death. So, in a most compassionate way, there is a process whereby, as soon as you exit the body, you move into a tunnel for further processing. From this point, a decision is made as to where you go. Actually, your actions in life create the greatest influence on this decision. If you die in a state of grace because you believe that you are a good person and have lived a good life, the transition through this tunnel is pretty straightforward. You move through this darkness with the faith of your belief in God and a wonderful afterlife, no matter what your mortal faith or religion has been. Ironically, at the point of death, a person's specific religion is no longer relevant. There is no specific Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, or Buddhist heaven. There is just God. People who have encountered the tunnel were reminded to keep moving, not to be delayed. It seems that what creates that darkness on the other dimensional realms is the volume of people's negative thoughts. We all have to pass through it to get to the dimension from which we will reincarnate. For some people, this is a dimension of learning before reincarnation, and that dimension is the heaven world. However, if you have focused on dark thoughts and deeds, then making that passage toward the light is going to be extremely difficult. If darkness has been your norm, then once beyond the tunnel, Darkness will continue to be your norm. You can always ask for help, for assistance, for insight. You just have to remember to make that request. Understanding that the dead grieve. When people die, they leave everything they have ever known and loved in mortal life. Some souls find separating from these things exceptionally traumatic, and for that reason they may linger as ghosts. They cannot bear to leave certain people, places, and things. Some parents literally haunt their children, even their adult children, because they cannot bear to be away from them, even in death. Some angry people realize that they wasted their life in anger. Some grieve that they never told certain people how much they love them, and the living didn't get the chance to say goodbye to them. Others grieve the focus of their life, often wishing they had done things differently, such as having children or loving more. Many people wish that they could have lived their lives more passionately. This concept of living a more passionate life reminds us to do just that, and not wait until death to discover how much better a life you could have lived. If people die suddenly and feel that they had many more things left to do in their lives, they grieve the suddenness of their own passing. They think, I have children to raise, a husband to go back to, a job to do, my family needs me, or how tragically I died. I can't believe I have been murdered. How could this happen? If the person has been a victim, if there is anger, then once out of a physical body, it is difficult to transmute that personal grief. This also helps to explain why so many people become ghosts. They grieve for themselves, their families, their loved ones, their dreams and ambitions. They grieve the fact that they have to go through the reincarnation cycle again. This grief can be evidenced by several situations. The soul has deep regret concerning the place where he or she died, which could be a tremendous attachment, and the soul can become a discarnate entity or ghost and just hang around that location. Some entities become mischievous ghosts, moving things around and making noise, while others are especially dangerous ghosts, creating fear in the living. If the soul was a mother of young children, she may grieve the feeling that she has abandoned them. This feeling could also be true of a young dad. Both souls regret that they will not be there to see their children grow up. Others may grieve the fact that someone else will raise their children. Some ghosts regret the fact that they committed suicide. Once out of the body, they can see the hurt that they have caused their friends and families, and they mourn their decision to die. Some souls are very angry and regret that they did not hurt people enough. Their vicious personalities do not leave them at death, but continue into the afterlife. Some elderly souls grieve that they felt they were a burden to their children and family. The sense of being a burden could also come from a soul who spent much of his or her life ill. Some souls who die suddenly at a young age regret that they will not get to live the life that they had anticipated. They grieve for the mistakes or the reckless actions that caused their deaths. Some souls grieve for the way in which they died. If they were murdered, it is a terrible feeling for them to see their bodies in such condition. Some souls who die of drug overdoses grieve for the pain that they caused their families and for the life they feel that they wasted. No matter how people die, you can help them even in death. Your prayers act like a cleansing, healing rain on their souls. Your prayers for them light their way. Your forgiveness for their lives they have lived helps them no matter when they died. Perhaps understanding that you are the same in life as in death will offer you greater incentive to live a better life. The more you can open yourself up to dying in a state of peace, grace, and love, no matter the method of death, the more you will advance in your soul evolution. Perhaps you will not grieve so much at your own death. When you can do this, your process of physical death can be less stressful. When you can accept all of these facts, perhaps you can then choose to live your life differently by making sure that love dominates your life. The healing path. Healing is a fascinating path. Doesn't everyone want to heal physical ailments as well as grief? Can't everyone be healed? Doesn't everyone ask for healing when he or she is grieving? Sometimes you have to ask for help and healing and feel worthy to receive it. God will not deny you your experiences. It is important that you do not judge the path of another. It is so easy to blame someone else. You are especially likely to blame another When it appears that a person was truly at fault, such as not watching a child in a swimming pool, when the person who died acted seemingly recklessly. However, it is not up to you to blame anyone else. All that occurs in mortal life happens in perfect harmony with the divine, even when we cannot see it, do not understand it, and have no practical frame of reference for it. Because of this truth, one of the surest roads out of severe grieving is the willingness to release blame. Even if people refuse help and stay in the darkness of prolonged grief, it is important to love them anyway, send them prayers anyway. It is a time for detached compassion. Some individuals feel the need to experience every aspect of their painful grief. It is not up to you to judge this choice in any way. When they are ready, a teacher who is right for them will appear to help them with their healing path. You can trust that this is so, and then move on with your own path. Living again. There is an eloquent line from the movie The Shawshank Redemption. Get busy living or get busy dying. Getting busy means that living and loving again are the inherent spiritual and emotional answers. Giving to others is the ultimate path to embracing a newly healed life. These actions honor your experience, honor the one who is not there, and allow you the grace with which to move forward with your life. Now is the time to become the true lightworker, courageously working toward the greatest good, the wisest path, and the most compassionate heart. At the end of the day, at the end of a life, these are the qualities that ultimately heal grief. The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief is available in ebook and print-on-demand form through Amazon and anywhere ebook and print books are sold. We at The Karmic Path are grateful for those of you who do purchase our books because it enables us to continue to put these podcasts together, and we are deeply grateful for your support.
Thank you for taking a walk with us on The Karmic Path today. We appreciate your listening and would love to hear from you. Please send all questions to questions@thekarmicpath.com.